It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
I don't know if I really love this decision.
Over the middle, got his man, and look at him go! Jalen Waddle for the touchdown!
Welcome to Inside Leverage, your gateway to the fascinating realm of the Miami Dolphins. Join us as we delve deep into the team's dynamic Super Bowl journey. We invite you to share your most scorching takes, unwind, and relish in our captivating experience.
So, Alf, let me ask you, with the draft, the offseason, and everything we've done so far, has Miami done enough to, I guess, overcome those losses of Robert Hunt, Christian Wilkins, and Andrew Van Ginkle, and continue to compete for the AFC East and the top of the AFC, in your opinion? Or is there some more things that we need to do in order to get back in that position, in your opinion?
Yeah, they still got work to do. They got to get that boundary corner. They need that boundary wide receiver. They need the third safety, and they probably need another guard. But as is, you know, with some tinkering and, you know, filling in some spots, yeah, they're right there in contention for the East. And if you're in contention for the East, then you get a home playoff game, right? But, right. To beat Kansas City, to beat the Ravens, like, you need home games. So you need to get that. You need to win that race to 12 wins. And can this team do it? Absolutely. They should have probably done it last year. They should have had 12 wins last year. So, like, that's the benchmark. Because AFC is going to be really competitive, you know. And I thought last year the AFC East was going to be a bloodbath. And I remember I predicted 11-6 for Miami and Buffalo. And the last game will come down to who will win the division. And I had the Jets at 10-7. I think that's probably what's going to happen again.
Yes.
Like it's probably going to be Miami and Buffalo at 11-6, and then the Jets make the playoffs with 10 wins or with 9 wins, right? You just got to win enough. I mean, you got to win enough to get a home playoff game, maybe two. You know, if you get the 2 seed, that's enough. Because if you get the 2 seed, you're home till the AFC Championship game, man. You know,
that Tennessee game killed us, though.
It did. That was a disaster.
Look, but you know why it killed us? Because we didn't have depth, bro. Like, I kept saying, like, I can't wait till this season is over because you're going to get rid of all these top heavy guys. And you get, yes, the names are not going to be the same. You don't have your Christian Wood because your Xavier Howard and all these names. But now you have a Jordan Brooks and Michael Porter and fill up with these rookies and all these little Fuller and all these guys. Now you have a team that you're not gonna be looking, oh man, X is down. We have to play Cater outside, eat that apple. Nah. If let's just say forbid Fuller gets hurt, you might have a little bit more confidence in Cam Smith. Or you could move it around with the safety help. Like last year we had no backups, man. Our backups were our backups and our backups are the special teamers, and that's the reason we lost.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it worked. You know, that Buffalo game, man. But yeah, if you go back to that Tennessee game, like that's where it all went. Think about what would have happened. If they just hold on, they had a 2-touchdown lead with 3 minutes left. If they just hold on to that game, none of those games at the end of the year matter. None of them. They're sitting everybody in that Bills game. Mike White is starting that game against Buffalo.
Man,
Mike White is starting that game. Achane is in street clothes. Tyreek Hill is in street clothes. Everybody's resting for the next week.
Probably not freezing our ass off in Kansas City, you think?
Dude, no, they would have been home. They would have been playing the Steelers. Yeah. They would have played the Steelers in the first round.
That's the game I miss Connor Williams the most. That game right there, Connor Williams would have closed that game up.
But when you go back and look at the Tennessee game, what was it? It was that third and 17? What was it, the third and 15? He broke the pocket and threw it to, I think it was D-Hop down the field with some crazy.
Oh, that crosser.
Yeah.
That specific play has plagued the Dolphins for probably like 8 or 9 years. That third and long when every other team gets off the field on that play.
And that's when Christian Wilkins lost his team. Because if you're a dog, you make a play.
But in combination to that, the linebacking core has been so below par that we don't get off the field on those third downs. You watch other teams on third and 9, third and 12. Oh, that linebacker's in there. Oh, he's off the field. Oh, it's a wrap. You know what I mean? We haven't gotten that. We've gotten that from the defensive line where you get the pass rush. But then after that pass rush, what then? Who's coming in there to clean up the play? Because, you know, unless your pass rusher is reaching over with one hand like Aaron Donald.
Yeah, right.
You know, so I feel like with the linebacking core we got now, I feel like Brooks, as soon as we got Brooks from Seattle, I hit up my buddy from Seattle, and he told me he's a dog. He said downhill. He specifically said on third and short, he's going to make the play. And when I heard that, I was like, okay, I need somebody that's going to stick their nose in it on third down then. And, you know, almost like what we're looking for Poirier to do with that veteran leadership to know, okay, this BS play, no, let's wrap this up.
Yeah, that game against Tennessee, man, and you can see it. You know, they go up 2 touchdowns. Looks like the game's over. Tennessee gets back on the field. They convert that big third down, and then they go right down the field in like a minute 30 to get the touchdown. Then they get the 2-point conversion. And when Miami gets the ball back, like you can almost see it, like Miami needs a field goal here. Because if they don't get a field goal here, it's over. They're going to have to drive the field and either end the game with the ball or drive down there and kick a field goal to go up 9 to win this game. Because the defense just had that look like they have no answers. They have no answers whatsoever. And I don't know what it is, man.
But how? How? And you look at the quarterback that they had. They only had D-Hop. Like, and that's what we talk about specifically as a team and as a player. Like, somebody needs to step up and make a play.
Linebackers didn't look, man, listen. In this NFL, there's a reason why you have your Fred Warners of them. Those guys of that cloth. These guys, they coverage. They're coverage. They're from side to side. Yo, we wanted Jerome Baker to be that guy. He wasn't. They don't have that range. He had limit. We had no range. Our coverage linebacker was Duke Riley. He's terrible at it. Like, you, man, listen, we've been crying for good linebackers since 1974. Zach Thomas retired, dog. It's been a long time. Bro, we've been paying Donner Ellaby, Philip Merlin, Carlos Dansby. No, bro, like, they don't have any range. For the first time.
Duke Riley, in a reserve role. He's solid. It's when he gets extended playing time. The worst start to show.
Carlos Dansby was a close. Carlos Dansby was solid.
But
Dansby was more than solid.
You guys are getting caught up on the name, but as Dolphin fans, the one thing we have for sure was a messed up baseball field and a nasty ass defense. And those days, bro, we got to bring them back. Yo, going across the middle, Zach Thomas going, listen, even when Junior Seau was here, watched up Junior Seau with Lieutenant Crowder. You wasn't doing that.
That was like the best linebacking corps we've had in my lifetime.
Hold on, guys. Alf, what are your thoughts there with the addition of Brooks? You think that's going to change things here?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Jordan Brooks. Back in 2020, I wanted to draft him with what ended up becoming the Noah Bignagni pick. That's the pick I wanted to use for Jordan Brooks. I've always liked Jordan Brooks. He's a good player, man. He's really good in coverage. Really good in coverage. Go watch his game against Arizona. And that's when Kyler Murray came back and they had Trey McBride. You guys familiar with Trey McBride? That's the tight end for Arizona.
Yes, sir.
For you fantasy players, pay attention. Like, that's a guy you're gonna want. Because he might be the next big thing. Okay.
Hey, you're blowing up the spot, Alf. Chill out. I got monies on this. Chill out.
Yeah, Trey McBride might be the next. He might be the next big thing.
Round for nothing in the seventh round. Relax.
But Trey McBride, man, was running corner routes, all right, on Seattle's defense. And I like Seattle's defense because Clint Hurt, although he got canned, he's a good defensive coordinator. And he was running, I believe, quarters, and they vacated that spot. So now it's the field side linebacker that has to take the tight end. And you got Jordan Brooks running 30, 35 yards down the field with Trey McBride, breaking up a pass like a corner. That's something I haven't seen here in ages. And I love Jerome Baker. I think he's a really good guy, good player. But that's not something he does. Like, he plays best facing the quarterback. Like, that's how he plays best. He's not good with his back turned to the quarterback. It's like the moon to him when he's, you know, running in man coverage. But Jordan Brooks, man, he's good. Like, he's gonna help a ton in that regard. And I love that. I never thought that they could replace Jerome Baker with an upgrade, but they actually did. Like, that was a really, really nice move.
That was actually my next question. Do you think if he was an upgrade or not? So
yeah, no, he's a huge upgrade. And you know, and now they're more similar to the Ravens. They got two guys that can play fill and two guys that can play scrape, right? And both are dogs. Okay. I love David Long. Like, David Long.
Yeah, I do too.
He will hit you. All right. He'll come down, you know, and you watch him in the game, man. Like, you know, like that's a guy that you want on your side. So I love what they've done with the linebackers. And Anthony Walker is also a guy that could bang. So I like what they've done with the linebackers, and I think that's an upgrade, and that's going to help them this year.
I think
I really do believe if they had Jordan Brooks in that Tennessee game, they win that game.
Of course. I tell you one thing. This defense lost because of our secondary guys, not the position, but our secondary guys, like a depth guy, like the backup to Phillip, the backup to Chubb, those guys.
The second string, yeah.
Yeah, the second string guys, they weren't up to par. Like, after so much, Van Ginkle is gonna tap out. You feel me? And nobody after that, we didn't have nobody after Van Ginkle. There was nothing. There was not this X factor. I think with a Jordan Brooks, David Long, Fuller, you could weaponize our defense. Like, you can really weaponize a Jalen, a Javon. You don't have to overcompensate for lack of coverage skills with a Sean Elliott. Like, it's insane what you could do. And I was going to ask you, like, yeah, we're not done, but as we stand right here, how do you feel about this defense? I think this defense is going to be cold weather ready right now.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. complex specialty care that cares about your ROI. It's possible, because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Well, they're going to get after the quarterback, man. Like, that's a fact. Like, they're going to be able to rush the passer. I like what they have at defensive tackle. And I understand people say, oh, but you lost, you know, Christian Wilkins. People got spoiled, man. Most teams have Justin Madubuike. They have Jason Hargrave. They have Aaron Donald. They have Dexter Lawrence. Notice I'm not naming two guys on one team,
no,
right?
No, just one guy, right. Exactly.
Just
exactly,
one guy. Yeah. Well, our guy's Zach Sealer, all right? You know, and he's cheaper. He costs half as much of what Christian Wilkins costs. Okay? Most teams don't have two. We were lucky enough to have two, all right? Now we got one. Now we got to get guys to fill roles opposite of him. And I think we have those guys. Like, you know, I like what we have on this defense. And I like the personnel management so far. I love what they have on the outside. Like, that's not going to happen to them again, what happened last year. Okay? You're essentially building the All-Star team from 2004 on the outside. Hmm. You know, like, come on, man. Like, and those guys played hard, man. But Jesus Christ, like, you're bringing Justin Houston out of retirement, Bruce Irvin out of retirement.
Crazy.
You know?
It was bad, man. It was really bad. It was really, you know, bad, man.
And I love, yeah, and I love Melvin Ingram
off the street, you know. Like,
and I love Melvin Ingram, but he's an older guy. You know what happens to those guys? They run out of gas. Yeah.
Correct.
You
know, quickly.
That's why you saw in 2022, you started the season, and Melvin Ingram was the defensive player of the month in September. Where was he in December? He was gone.
Done.
Because he ran out of gas. Old guys run out of gas. Like, you can't play like that an entire 17 game season, then plus the playoffs. You know.
Hey, as they say, Father Time is undefeated, my man. So
Man. And I love Melvin Ingram. Like, he should have like an honorary role on this team.
I was saying to bring him back. I was saying to bring him back because, you know, he could finally be a piece. Every season we've had him, he had to be like a player. Now he could be like a piece. He's old. You don't have to. All right, I got four plays for you. Four plays? Oh, man. With these guys, imagínate, man, it's out of this world.
Yeah, I thought last year was going to be perfect for him because they brought him in late. And late, I was like, they got him for the month of December, man. Like, that dude wasn't like Las Olas having like dinner. And they called him like, hey, man, you want to play? And he goes, he looked at the calendar and he said, it's December 1st. Yeah, perfect. I'm ready.
But then the injuries happened, man.
Yeah, that's the problem. Then the injuries happen. And then now it's no longer, hey, you want to come be a sub pass rusher for like 12 snaps? No, now it's, hey, can you play 60 snaps and be running with people in coverage? Like, that dude was running with Dalton Kincaid.
No, I'm sorry.
I was so upset, bro. Like, no. We moved on, but Vic Fangio, dog, you had some questionable-ass calls last season. Like, you was doing some wild work as the best defensive coordinator we've ever had in a long time. You was wilding out here. Melvin Ingram on coverage alone is just, you should get fired after that. But hey,
it was almost like he was driving a rental car. You know how you drive a rental car? For real. You know, you the rotation of guys, the Christian Wilkins between Chris, it's almost like you had the core guys as the core guys, and you're like, that's it, and that's it.
Nick Needham and see the field. I don't know, man. The KD Cole was getting torched. Nah, let's do my
stuff. Yeah, sometimes this stuff is supposed to be easy, okay? And my philosophy is like this. He who gets paid the most gets asked the most, right? So as soon as I would have given Jalen Ramsey $23 million a year, guess what? He's playing the star role. He's playing in the slot. Correct. He's following the other team's best wide receiver.
He's selling hot dogs in the stands.
He's doing everything.
He's doing everything. Nah.
Yeah. You know, but there was games where he was just out there bored out of his mind.
Vibing.
Like, doing nothing on the other side of the field.
Wide receiver, you're like this. Nah, man. Big Ben was nah. Shout out to Coach and you and the WRP Elderly and the Blue Cross Ribbon Association. You guys, that old man retirement, you need to go home because that was disgusting. He was asleep. Listen, with all due respect, you know what I mean?
Some players also, you know, deserve some blame, man. Kader Kohou was bad last year.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, my God.
How do you going to ask you that?
How do you feel?
Yeah, but you got to understand, man, this is a guy that came out of Texas. Look, man, I remember when I went to camp and I was looking over the secondary. That's what I like to look at first because, first of all, they work out right next to the media. So I can start looking at them. And I meant some of these guys look like really good athletes, you know, like the guys that I didn't know were, you know, like the camp bodies for that year.
Yeah.
I was like, man, these are some good looking athletes. Who's the big buff dude over there? The little buff dude, which was Kader Kohou. Because that dude's rocked up, right?
No, he is. Yeah.
A little muscle hamster.
You know? And I'm like, man, who's that? You know? Because he's getting a lot of attention from the coaches. And I remember that I talked to a Dolphin coach. And he was like, man, watch that guy. That guy's going to be a good player for us. And I'm like, really? And this was like day one or two of camp. And I was looking up and I'm like, oh, he went to Texas A&M. How come I didn't see this dude play? And then I looked it up and I'm like, no, Texas A&M Commerce. And I'm like, I don't know that college existed. You know what I mean? You know? So you got to understand, he comes in and he plays in a man system and he shines. Then he's thrust into a cover six system and he's completely lost. Of course he's lost. He's a dude that came out of Texas A&M Commerce.
Yeah, he's never seen that in his life.
He's being asked to do way, way too much.
Right.
You know? He's basically out there thinking and not playing. And when guys are out there, when they're out there thinking and they're not playing, you're not going to play well, you know?
Dude, but I went to, maybe I'm wild, but I went to the training practices and whatnot, the open practice to the people. And I was raving in spaces about how locked in the defense was and how Kader was doing amazing. I'm like, yo, they locking up Tyreek, man. I'm like,
right.
And I was like, yo, like that. Even Eli Apple looked, yo. Even the scrimmage game, Cam Smith balling. And then when we got to the regular season, I'm like, yo, what happened? Because you could say, oh no, he's going against his teammates. All right, the inner squad games, they were still balling. So, what happened from training camp to week one to week 17 that it didn't carry over? Like, no, there was no, like I was getting killed in the timeline. Oh, Tyreek was getting covered by Kader, not this Kader. Yeah, I was getting killed.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know what happened, but it was a weird thing to see. You know, that Tennessee game was basically on Kader Kohou, if you remember.
But Coach had him matched up against with D-Hop. He ain't gonna cover D-Hop. D-Hop gonna eat all day.
But really quick, just to pin that Tennessee game and finish that Tennessee point, like, when we talk about, like, I think, Wally, you kind of mentioned it, that's when I knew Christian Wilkins them wasn't enough. And to me, I was happy the way Chris Greer did the contracts and played out the season with everybody, because he was like, okay, everybody's going to get paid based on what you do. And three games up, everybody was looking like they was house money. But then you know what I mean? So, like, even with Tua contract negotiation, he got to bear a little bit of that three-game loss too. You know what I mean? So, and I'm not saying that's going to affect his contract per se, but, like, these guys got to get over, you know what I mean? They got it this year. Almost Tyreek said it going into the season. No excuses for anybody no more. You know what I mean? Senior season. Got to graduate.
Yeah, absolutely. School. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, the guys that have been capable of doing it in the past got to do it again, you know. And you kind of saw it in 2022. Like, I know they lost that game in the snow against Buffalo, but how did you come away thinking after that game, okay? When they lost that game in Buffalo in the snow, you looked at them and you said, Buffalo's days are numbered, right?
Yep, we were this close, yep.
Yeah,
you
know? Man.
Yeah, you had an 8-point lead, or what was it, a 9-point lead in the fourth quarter, you know, midway through the fourth quarter. You're like, and you're doing this in a big showdown game in Buffalo in the snow. Yeah, their days are numbered.
But-
You know what I mean?
Every time we've beaten Buffalo has been on the run game, and that's the crazy part about it. It's been anytime we beat them in the game, it's been off the bat of the run game. Literally, go back and look at it. And it's so crazy. The times we've come back to beat them in games, it's off the back of the run game. And then we get kind of quarterback happy and guys just drop the ball for the proverbial lack of a better word. But like, I feel like we got to get back to that old school Miami where we're leaning on that run, and we're leaning on that run because what we do in the first half to air it out, we could technically do in the second half. Tyreek, them, you know, he, I don't want to say he's going to be fresh, but like, let's lean on that run game in the first half. That way everything just opens up and we Matt Stafford it in the second half where we just, it's just junk yardage that we're putting up. That's why, let me not slander Matt Stafford, but you get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I see you casting another white net, bro. He's just out here just being French. It's okay, French. It's okay.
Hey, Alf, before we get out of here, I got one other question. What are you envisioning with Cam Smith this year?
Well, I'm envisioning the same thing I saw last year at camp, man. He looked great last year. And when he played in the preseason game, you know, he looked like a player. But for whatever reason, Vic Fangio just didn't like him, you know. And, you know, those old salty coaches, man, they don't like rookies because rookies tend to make a lot of mistakes and they make his defense look bad. So he decided to redshirt him. I expect him to take a major step forward. And, you know, I think we have a player there because he looked like a player last year.
He did.
You know? And when people say, oh, but you saw him and wasn't in practice. Well, he's designed to fail in practice. Like, cornerbacks should get, you know, absolutely torched in practice. Okay, because quarterbacks are not getting hit, so he has to go up against Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, and he's holding his own. That means he can play. That's usually how it works. You know what I mean? So I expect something from him. I expect him to be a good player. They're deep there now when they weren't last year.
How about Tindall? Nothing. Oh huh?
Man, I think the clock is ticking there, man. Like, you know,
these special teamers, the writing is on the wall.
Yeah, you saw some flashes from Tindall last year, but then he just goes away for games and for practices as well. You know, I think this is his last shot. This is his last shot because they went out there and they got guys at his position. Okay, Anthony Walker is going to play and he's going to be a top special teams guy. So that pushes Tindall one step further back. You know, so he's going to have to earn his spot on this team.
Yeah, so, he's got some physical skills. I think the problem from a personal standpoint, what I've seen, I think it's been in between the years, but I mean, what the hell do I know?
Yeah, that's pretty much probably his issue, you know. And they've also moved him from spot to spot. Like when he first got here, Josh Boyer wanted to play him as like a fill backer, and then this past year they wanted to play him on the outside off the ball. So, you know, those are two different responsibilities. And now he's going to play in his third different system in 3 years. So, you know, that has to hurt him also as a player.
That's a factor, yeah, for sure, for sure.
I did recon on Tindall, and from the insider that I talked to that did some scouting on him specifically, they said he's a great athlete, but, you know, more than anything, it's kind of more of like the like football IQ, you know what I mean, thinking a lot when he's on the field. You know, if he can just rush the – you know, he's great at that. But, I mean, we'll see what he could do in the system and, you know, pick it up, you know. Like I said, the clock's on.
Yep.
All right, man. I know it's been a little over an hour here, so I think we're going to wrap. But we appreciate your time off, as always. Always a pleasure, man. Everybody is out there watching. Make sure you subscribe. Check out the podcast for 3 Yards for Carry. Get on that Discord. So what is it, $5 a month, Alf?
$3 a month.
Look, even cheaper. $3 a month, man. And this economy, you know, is always going to help. Other than that, support this man. Follow him on Twitter, podcast, Discord, the whole deal. It's worth it. I highly, highly recommend it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for having me on, guys.
Hey, thanks. All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Al.
Thanks again.
All right. Have a good one, my brother.